Well, everyone, welcome to FOSDEM, the graphics dev room. We're kicking it off today with a talk about geometry shaders in PMPK with libpoly. So about me, for those of you who don't know, because I haven't been to FOSDEM in like a decade, my name is Faith Ekstrand. I work for Collabra. I've been around Free Desktop for quite a few years yet now. I was at Intel for a while, where I did the Intel Vulkan driver there for Linux. I did a bunch of other stuff, compiler stuff, various Intel bits, bunch of Vulkan common code that everybody's now using. And then I've been at Collabra since 2022, where I work basically anywhere in the Linux graphics stack where I'm needed. I wrote the NVK driver stack for NVIDIA hardware, and then I spent the last 2 or 3 months helping out the PMVK team, trying to get stuff in a little bit better shape there. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that today. So, what are geometry shaders? That's the first question, because we need to talk about what these are to know why they're hard and why this is interesting stuff. So geometry shaders sit right before rasterization. So you have your vertex shading, you might have some tessellation, if you have a high enough API version for that. And then you have potentially a geometry shader that runs right before the rasterizer. And unlike some of the other shader stages, geometry shaders act per primitive. So they consume primitives, they produce primitives. They might consume and produce different primitive types, like they can consume triangles, produce points. They can consume points and produce triangles. And they can also dynamically change the number of primitives. So you can consume 1 point and produce 7 triangles. You can have a geometry shader that sometimes produces 7 triangles, sometimes produces 0 triangles. So here's one example of a geometry shader that takes a point and produces 2 triangles that make a square. Why might you want to do this? Well, maybe you don't trust point sprites and you want to do some sort of like environment effect, and it's easier to just shove pixel points down your pipeline and you can do everything with a geometry shader. And the way that this works is you have your normal outputs, like in this case GL position, and you write to it, and then you do emit vertex, and that causes that vertex to be kicked out, and then you set up your outputs again, and you emit vertex, and you set up your outputs again, and you emit vertex. Here is another example that turns a solid triangle into lines. So we walk over all the vertices, and we do the first one, second one, third one, and then back to the first one again as a line loop. And voila, we can do lines. Here's one that duplicates a triangle. So you put in 1 triangle, it gives you out 2. These are just some examples of things that you could potentially do with geometry shaders. In the real world, again, it's all programmable, so the application can do whatever it wants. We're not here to tell them what they can and cannot do, but this is some examples. Okay, so let's talk about why geometry shaders are hard. First of all, like I said, the number of primitives you can emit is dynamic. So emit vertex and primitive might be in control flow. So you might have a loop that emits a bunch of primitives, and the loop has a loop counter, and the loop counter might not be known at compile time. So we don't necessarily know when we're looking at the shader code or the object that we've compiled how many primitives we're going to get out for every primitive we put in. We try to figure this out in compile time if we can. And you know, if we can unroll all the loops and we can do all the things, then oftentimes we can figure this out, but sometimes we can't. And we have to be able to deal with that. We also have to be able to deal with partial primitives. So if you are emitting vertices, or if you're emitting triangles, and you emit 5 vertices, that only gets you 1 primitive. So you can end up with sort of redundant stuff at the end of your call, and we have to be able to deal with that. We also have to be able to output primitives in a predictable order. And this is one of the hardest problems with geometry shaders and why everybody's built hardware for it and why it just generally sucks. There's a few different reasons for this. One is that geometry shaders can feed into transform feedback, which if you have been around GPUs for long enough, you're cringing right now at the thought of that API, but there it is. We need to be able to support that. Transform feedback is something that goes back quite a long ways in Vulkan, and basically it's quite a long ways in OpenGL, and we added it to Vulkan, unfortunately. And what it does is it allows you to ask the driver, the hardware, to please take all of the data that's coming out of the geometry pipeline and write it into a buffer for me. Well, we need to be able to do that, and the order that we write that data out needs to be predictable, because applications are then going to read that data and do something with it, and we need to know what it is. There's also some things that are order dependent in the rasterization pipeline. So color blending, for instance, is not necessarily something that you can do in arbitrary order and get the same results. Some color blend equations, like just adding or doing a min or a max, are predictable, but some of them are not. Depth testing is also not necessarily order independent. It's mostly order independent, depending on your values, but if you're using a fixed point depth format like 16 or 24 bit, then whether you use greater or greater equal gives you a first primitive wins or last primitive wins rule. And if you don't know what your primitive order is, you can get unpredictable results with depth testing as well. So it's really important that we output stuff in the correct order. And then finally, we also don't know the number of input primitives necessarily. So this isn't the worst of the problems, but it is something that we have to be able to deal with in the implementation. And this is mostly due to draw indirect, although there's a couple of other cases where that pops up as well. Okay, so let's talk about geometry shaders on Mali, which is what this is, what we're trying to do here. So starting with Valhall, Mali added support to enable geometry shading. They added layered rendering in hardware, which is really nice. Not having that would have been a pain. And they added the ability to write GL layer and GL primitive ID from a vertex shader. That is the sum total of Mali's geometry shader support. everything else is just left as an exercise to the reader.